Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, November 4th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
How did you get here?
Basically, I walked through the door. Listen, today we take a short break from the Erotic Mind series so that I can attend to the backlog of messages from the sexually worrisome that clog my inbox and voicemail. Today's show is all Q&A, people. So make yourself comfortable. It's going to be a very interesting ride. Oh, and to make things really interesting, as well as satisfy a friend's suppressed desire to dole out sex advice, apparently he thinks this gig is a cakewalk, I'm going to let him have the first words of advice on today's questions. My friend, who wishes to be known as Uncle Iodine, claims to enjoy the sadistic Samaritan rush of helping people. Well, we'll just see about that.
Wait, Master. It might be dangerous.
That's so true, but you don't have to call me Master. Well, if Uncle Iodine doesn't work out, we'll just fire his ass. So, this week's podcast is brought to you once again by the good folks at EdenFantasies.com, the one-stop place to shop for all those adult products you've been drooling over. You'll find a full line of top-quality toys, fetish kits, and sexy lingerie at Eden Fantasies, but that's not what makes our sponsor so damn special. What makes them extraordinary is their social conscience, and that, my friends, makes all the difference in the world to a sex-positive guy like me. The Eden Fantasies site is chock-full of tips for the conscientious consumer, practical user guides, toy reviews, and their wonderful community blog, EdenCafe.com. You simply must check out this site, sex fans. It's so fun and sexy, irreverent and cheeky, but it's also very informative. Look for the Eden Fantasies banner right there on the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com, and you can link through to Eden Cafe from there.
So this is where it all happened.
Yes, not only happened, but happening. Before we begin today's delightful show, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free, lickety-split, sex advice, podcast, voicemail, hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or a comment? Want to rant or rave a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. No need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts.
Good Lord.
I know, pretty fucking amazing, huh? Okay, on with the show. First, to voicemail.
What's the best way to masturbate for a male?
Well, Uncle Iodine, you're up.
Interesting choice of words there. Are you inferring that you're masturbating for, like, in front of a male? If so, then may I suggest incorporating a little interpretive dance into your routine? We'll really appreciate the effort. On the other hand, if you're simply asking for the best method of masturbation, well, that's an easy one. Aim for your favorite plant. It's the way Aristotle did it.
You're getting just so philosophical. Seriously, caller, that's your question? Do you honestly think that there is a best way? The reason I ask is that the best way for me to squeeze one off may not necessarily be the best way for you. I mean, I'm happy to set myself up as the arbiter of a lot of sex-related things, but I draw the line at offering an opinion about the best way to jerk off. That being said, I do often suggest to my male clients and correspondents alike that they dedicate at least some of their self-pleasuring to full-body masturbation. The purpose of this kind of masturbation is to play with and move around the sexual energy that builds up in a guy as he pulls his pud. The object here is to delay as long as he can, shooting his wad. What the hell is full-body masturbation, you ask? Well, it's pretty simple, really. It's touching and pleasuring one's whole body while masturbating. Listen, if a guy's wank sessions are always and only speedy little affairs, squeezing one off just to relieve sexual tension, he will habituate his body to coming quickly, like if he's jerking off just to relieve tension. This will indeed get in the way of lasting longer when he's with a partner. That's why I recommend full-body masturbation. A guy will take his time with his self-pleasuring, move the sexual energy from his stiff cock to the rest of his body. It's as simple as that. Since this is a sexual enhancement exercise and not just a means for getting off, I encourage my clients to dedicate some time to this effort. Full-body masturbation should be a leisurely affair. Allow 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week, for these exercises. Touch and pleasure your whole body while you stroke your cock. Make the pleasure last as long as you can. Use lots of lube or massage oil on your dick and all over your body. Watch some porn. Incorporate a vibrating toy. In other words, knock yourself out. As you reach the point where you feel an ejaculation is near, stop stroking your dick and play with some other part of your body. Tits, asshole, feet, whatever. When the urge to come subsides, you can start to stroke again. If you can do this for 30 minutes, you're doing full body masturbation. Next, we hear from Rachel. She's 18 and she writes from New Jersey. I pee when I have an orgasm. It goes everywhere. But it doesn't smell like pee.
Rachel, does the phrase money shot mean anything to you? Well, I have for you good news and I have for you bad news. The good news is that you are not urinating when you orgasm. The bad news is that, at least for our purposes, not to mention Dr. Dick's, Dr. Drew's, and any other doctor's purposes, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. What I want you to do, my young Padawan, is use the Google. These are your keywords. Female and ejaculation. Read up. Rejoice. Let it rain.
So, Rachel, I have a question. Is the kind of squirting you say you do the kind we see in way too many porn movies as of late? You know, one of them obscene gusher kind of things? I don't know about you. The porn kind of female ejaculation is all faked, darling. I know it's hard to believe that pornographers would falsify something as important as this, but they do. Let me ask you this, Rachel. If what you are expelling from your body when you orgasm isn't pee, even though it doesn't smell like pee, what else could it be? The reason I ask is, I mean, all you have to do is think about it for a moment to realize it probably couldn't be anything else. Like, where, other than in your bladder, would all that liquid be stored anyway? The producers of that kind of porn do a sleight of hand, if you will. They have their female actresses fill their vagina with water, and on command, she squeezes her pussy muscles to produce the waterworks. It's all edited together to create the illusion that this is somehow an orgasmic response. But that's not to say that some women don't ejaculate. They do. Just not like in the porno movies. Let's start with a little background. The G-spot, or Grafenberg spot, is named after the physician who wrote about it first. It's a small area of spongy tissue just behind the front wall of the vagina, between the back and the pubic bone and the cervix. This is analogous tissue to the male prostate. In fact, the G-spot is sometimes referred to as the female prostate. But like most things sexual, particularly if it has to do with female sexuality, there is a lot of debate about whether a G-spot is the same thing as the female prostate. I intend to stay clear of that debate as much as possible. What I can tell you for sure is that during early fetal development, both male and female fetuses start out being physically female. This does not change until the male fetus begins to produce its own hormones around the 8th week of gestation. Only then does the physical development of the male and female bodies diverge. Of course, this necessitates that female fetuses initially have structures that could possibly develop into either male or female reproductive sexual organs. This means that the tissue that develops into the male prostate gland must be present in a woman. Get it? Many women report that their G area is more sensitive to the stimulation than other parts of their vagina. To find your very own G-spot, put two fingers in your pussy and curve them upward, like toward your belly. Now, stroke that area with a come here motion. Feel that? That's your G-spot, darling. How fun is this? Fingering yourself like this will probably be more pleasurable if you're already aroused. Some women have orgasms and ejaculate from G-spot stimulation, but not all women ejaculate and not all women find their G-spot stimulation pleasurable. Wouldn't you just know it? Some women report that they feel like they need to pee when their G-spot is stimulated. Therefore, I suggest that before you go rooting around in your pussy looking for your G-spot, that you completely empty your bladder. Oh, and make sure your fingers are well lubricated throughout your exploration, even if you have a lot of your own vaginal lubrication. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from a guy who identifies himself as Sucks a Lot of Cock, and he's 17, and he writes from Wisconsin. Does having lesbian sex feel the same as two gay guys having sex? Please answer my question as soon as possible. I am very curious.
You aren't by chance related to Ms. Chokes on Dick from South Park, are you? Okay. So, you, a male, want to appreciate the finer points of the sapphic arts. Well, here's the thing. You can't. Know why? Because you're not a woman. Unless you have female genitalia, female nerve endings, and a female brain and nervous system to tie it all together, all I can really throw at you is an endless supply of really shitty metaphors. And nobody wants to listen to a tidal wave of erotic alliteration, do they? No, I don't think so. So allow me to be succinct, my friend. It just feels good.
Listen, my perspective is, yes, lesbian sex is exactly the same as two gay guys having sex, only it's completely different. Uncle Iodine is right. The mysteries of female sexuality are completely inexplicable to us benighted males. We can only imagine the throes of ecstasy a woman must feel as she dissolves into a puddle of orgasmic bliss. And when you put two of these creatures together for some hot dyke sex, well, there's no wrapping our heads around that no matter how hard we men try. I suppose that's why so much of straight porn is dedicated to girl-on-girl sex. Us men folk apparently love having our faces rubbed in our pitiful inadequacy, so to speak. Next, we hear from Megan, who's 23, and she writes from Maryland. So the guy I'm seeing has a bent dick. He told me that a girl came down too hard on it, and now it's bent permanently. I'm wondering if this could be true. Thank you.
Megan, I would love to give you a clear-cut answer on this one, but stories like that make my restless leg syndrome flare up. Yeah. And by the way, how does a girl come down too hard on it, anyway? Was she channeling a little Billy Blanks during the coital revelry? Where in the manual does it say, and here is where you should karate chop the fuck out of his dick? Jesus! And I thought I've had a checkered dating life. At least nobody ever tried to jinx my junk.
Listen, Megan, a serious injury to a guy's dick could indeed make it curve, but what your boyfriend claims is hard for me to believe. Cock curvature is not uncommon. Fact is, many men have dicks that swerve from the straight and narrow. Some swerve to the left, some curve to the right, others curve up, others swerve down. You're clear on the concept of what creates wood, right? An erection occurs when two tubular structures that run the length of the penis, they're called the corpora cavernosa, become engorged with blood. Imagine his cock as a balloon, with two separate inflatable tubes on either side. If you put more air pressure in the tube on one side, the balloon will curve. It's simple as all that. Many guys believe that a bent cock is caused by wearing too tight briefs instead of boxers, or it's caused by circumcision or jerking off too much. These are all myths. However, rough and or heavy-handed masturbation during one's youth can promote a curvature later in life. That's why I always promote handling one's pecker with a great deal of care. Speaking of cocks, our next correspondent is Devin. He's 25 and he writes from India. My foreskin cannot be drawn back over the dickhead. Is this normal? Does it in any way hinder the growth and length of the penis?
Brad, or whatever your name is, I'm calling you Brad and you're going to like it. Brad, the short answer is yes, you were born with a defective peepee. Please return it directly to the manufacturer.
Despite what Uncle Iodine said, no, your tight foreskin will not hamper the growth in length of your cock. In fact, darling, by age 25, you have all the dick you're going to grow. You're well past puberty, Devin, so there's no more dick growing in your future, I can tell you that for damn sure. As to the tight foreskin issue, I am of the mind that uncut men need to pay particular attention to cleaning their cock. If you're not careful to completely retract your foreskin over your dickhead when you shower or bathe, you will have a problem with smegma buildup. Yee, that's that cheesy-looking stuff under your hood. And with its accompanying odor, forget about it. Poor hygiene can also contribute to other more serious conditions like phimosis. The popular wisdom about cleaning under your foreskin is that soap is unnecessary. A full rinsing with warm water should be sufficient. If soap is desired, one ought to use a very mild hypoallergenic soap for this very delicate area. Either way, fully retracting your foreskin is essential. I'd also encourage you to retract your foreskin while you take a leak. That way you won't have that unpleasant pissy smell about you. If you need information about how to stretch your foreskin, use my site's search function. Type in the words, stretching my foreskin, and presto, you'll be presented with all my postings and podcasts where I address this important issue. Next, we hear from Louise, who's 18, and she writes from the USA. You don't say, Louise. She writes, why do guys get such a thrill by coming on their partner? Several times, I've ended up with sperm on my stomach, boobs, or face because a guy decided that it would be fun to do and pull out at the last second. Is that meant to degrade me?
Louise, let's talk turkey, or gravy as it were. Boys are like bears, or any other hairy woodland beast instinctually programmed to smear its bodily fluids all up and down the circumference of its supposed territory. Is it degradation? Well, yeah. You see, to a boy, degradation is the sincerest form of flattery. Let me put it another way. Does the name Lars von Trier ring any bells? Yeah, it's like that.
Actually, I agree. You see, us boys think all the world is enamored with our spunk just as much as we are. And so we think we're doing everyone a big favor by spreading our baby batter all round. We're particularly fond of getting as much of our joy juice on our partners as possible, and the messier we can be doing it, all the better. We'll tell you that we do it because we love you, and that we just whipped up this tasty little batch of seed just for you. But of course, that's simply bullshit. What we're really doing is marking our territory, just like Uncle Iodine suggests. Did you ever notice how pleased with himself a male dog is when he's blissfully lifting his leg to pee on everything in sight? I'd be willing to bet that you'd see a similar shit-eating grin on your boyfriend's face as he's merrily popping a nut on your tits. He's marking his territory, but he's marking it with his jizz. The upside of this is that our little nut concoction is heavily laden with protein, so you'll not find a better skin emollient. Just make sure that he doesn't get any of his spooge in your eyes, because that shit burns. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Remember, it's free. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Joe. He's 49, and he also writes from the USA. You don't say. My wife regularly, like once a week, fucks me in the ass, and I love it. I mean, she gets me so hot, she can easily get her fist in me. Is that a bad thing? And why does it make me so hot? I do know that her having so much control over me makes me hot.
Okay, Joe, it's time for you to use the Google. Here are your keywords, P and spot. Go ahead, I'll wait. Done? Great. Here's something else to look up. Femdom. Or maybe male submissive. You see, you, my dear Joe, are what we in the biz affectionately call a butt slave. So embrace it. Live it. Love it. For it is the butt slaves who, in fact, make the world go round. Well, you and the patisseries. Because I love me some Danish.
Thank you, Uncle Iodine. Alas, you failed to address his concern. Is getting a fist up your sorry ass a bad thing? My response is that depends on how skilled your wife is at fisting. For everyone in my audience who hasn't heard of fisting, let's start at the beginning. I trust everyone knows what fingering is, right? Whether it's fingering a pussy or an asshole. It's loads of fun to diddle someone's insides. We already know that fingering a dude's hole will stimulate his prostate, which I might add, more and more non-gay men are discovering to be way fun. Okay, sex fans, take fingering and multiply that by 5. That's right, fist fucking and handballing is inserting a whole hand or fist into an asshole or cunt. For all you folks who haven't fainted away as of yet, yes, it is anatomically possible, and yes, it can be extremely pleasurable. I hasten to add that getting a whole fist inside a pussy is somewhat easier than getting a hand in an asshole. But for folks who like this kind of play, nothing is a bigger turn-on. First off, the fisting top does not make a fist and ram it home. This kind of extreme penetration has to be worked on and worked on slowly and gently. Fisting aficionados contend that this is the most intimate and complete way to touch another human being. Trust and communication between partners is essential, as is tons of lube. Some folks swear by Crisco. Others think that the legendary J-Lube, a handy-dandy concentrate for veterinarian use, stands apart from the rest because of its slippery and gooey nature. Here's a tip. Instead of schlepping down to your local veterinary supply warehouse, you can find J-Lube in Dr. Dick's stockroom. Look for the My Stockroom tab at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. The fisting top must, of course, respect his or her partner's limits and pain threshold. Safe fisting is happy fisting. And to that end, keep the following concerns in mind. First of all, the top must cut and file all his or her nails until every finger is as smooth as it can possibly be. Remember, your fingers will be in some very delicate places, places that may not have pain receptors. You'll want to ensure that you minimize all chance of causing injury. Make sure your partner is relaxed, comfortable, and turned on. When a guy is aroused, his anal sphincter relaxes, which is very important for accompanying a fist, don't you know? There is no such thing as too much lube, both for you, the bottom, and she, the top. So prepare for a big fat mess. The top should lube her hand, the back of her hand, between her fingers. Keep applying lube as you go. Push the lube into the pussy and or asshole with your fingers. Just remember that if you're using latex gloves, oil-based lubricants dissolve latex. Start with one or two fingers and work your way up into three and four. Most people need some time to further relax their muscles, and some may require several stretching sessions over weeks or even months before they can actually accommodate your whole hand. Tops, be sensitive to your bottom's feelings. You are trying to persuade a part of his body to open for you and admit a part of your body deep inside him. If you take your time, the energy exchange between top and bottom will move you both into an altered state. Again, communication and relaxation is key. Once you've reached a five-finger insertion, you're almost there. But it's at this precise point that the top needs to be most attentive. Your partner's ass is being stretched to the near limit. Your partner is going to be riding a wave of pain and pleasure. If you find his ass, or her cunt, has reached its limit for the time being, respect that and pull out slowly. But if your partner wants more, then slip your knuckles inside. Be sure to fold your thumb inside your fingers so that your hand will naturally form an elongated fist. Think of the shape of a duck's bill. This makes your hand into a wedge shape that allows you to gradually stretch your partner open as you press on. Apply steady but slow pressure. Your partner should be telling you when to push and when to pull back. Careless fisting can cause muscle and/or tissue injuries if the top goes too fast or too hard. Obviously, there's going to be some discomfort during fisting. Listen to the owner of the ass or pussy being fisted. She or he will let you know the difference between hurts so good and hurts real bad. The knuckles are the widest part of the hand and the most difficult to get past the sphincter. If there's going to be resistance to the insertion of the fist, this is probably at the point where it will happen. Wait until your partner is ready before making the big push. He or she may be able to help you by bearing down, as if she were giving birth or he was having a bowel movement. Once your knuckles slip past the ring of muscles, the pressure will ease off. Now, gently roll your hand into a fist. At this point, the owner of the pussy and/or asshole may want a gentle pumping motion with your hand. Fisting can produce extreme intense sensations, so ask her or him what feels best. When the session is done, make your hand into the duckbill wedge shaped again and gently slide it out slowly. Here we come to some very disturbing questions from two separate people. First, Abe, who is 31 and writes from Nevada. What will happen, or is there any side effects, if I put a single ball in my ass, but it won't come out?
Let me ask you a question, Abe. Do you think your rectum was designed as a receptacle for man-made goods? I'm not talking about animal hormone manufacturers here. Leading doctors say, 9, please exercise caution and use a little lube.
All kidding aside, what the fuck were you thinking? Were you loaded on some substance or just bored to death? And why didn't you include your email address so that I could actually respond to the pressing query in a timely fashion? By now, you've either shit out the ball or you've taken your sorry ass to the hospital to have it removed. Sex fans, never, and I do mean never, put anything in your ass that you don't have tethered to something that will not be going into your ass. You're just asking for serious trouble if you do. Next is Sandy. She's 45 and she writes from California. During sex, I got an object stuck in my rectum. I went past the small outlet at the top of my anal cavity. To be honest, I'm scared. I can't fish it out. It's up past the holding area. We were using a hangable broom plastic handle, which has a tip on it for hanging. I kept a rubber on it so that it wouldn't come off in me. Well, the rubber broke because the lube I used caused the breakage. So what can I do? the tip thing is as wide as a broom and about a half inch deep. But the capacity to act like a suction cup if it gets stuck. Next time, I will make an air hole so that it cannot get adhered in me. But how can I get this out now? I have no insurance, so I can't go to the doctor. Help!
Sandy, I really hope you haven't been waiting by the computer all week waiting for a response.
I'm afraid she has, Uncle Iodine. This woman didn't include her email address with her query either. This distresses me no end. There are so many things wrong here. I simply don't know where to start. You're 45 years old, and yet you don't know better than to fuck yourself with a broom handle? Holy cow. And you're using an oil-based lube while you have your broom handle with its plastic-hanging doohickey wrapped in a latex condom? My God, teenagers know better than that. And what is this about next time you'll make an air hole so it can't get adhered to you? Are you completely out of your mind? If this one extremely embarrassing, if not downright dangerous, stunt hasn't taught you a lesson, then I suppose there's no hope for you. Like I said to Abe above, by now you either have shit out that thing, or you took your sorry ass to the hospital or emergency room to have this foreign object removed. Next! Here we have Ken, 26, and he writes from San Francisco. Hi, Dr. Dick. At this age, I'm still confused about my sexuality. I seem to be attracted emotionally to girls, but attracted physically to guys. I watch gay porn. Is this a sign of bisexuality, or am I just homosexual because I watch gay porn?
Ken, your question falls into the sexual murk of, I like to put things in my butt. Does that make me gay? Go out, Ken. Live your life. That means getting on with the dudes? Cool. That means getting on with the ladies? Hey, that's cool, too. But please don't ask me or anyone else to validate your sexuality or your parking. That's your job.
I'm afraid that I must concur with my learned colleague, Uncle Iodine. So, ditto to what he said. But I do want to add one thing. Without putting too fine a point on it, let me simply say that nothing makes anyone gay. You either are or you aren't, or you have tendencies or you don't. No behavior, no smoking some guy's pole, nor taking some fine Johnson up your poop chute makes you gay. Period. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from a person who identifies herself as horny and confused housewife. Hi, Dr. Dick. I've been married for 6 years. The sex is pretty good. For our anniversary this year, I offered to spice things up a bit with a toy. My husband thought this was a great idea and immediately purchased us a dildo and a cock ring. Getting into the spirit of things, I shaved myself for the occasion. I had a baby 9 months ago, and my libido had been in hibernation since before I got pregnant. Shaving myself was like a light switch turned on. I must have been mildly aroused constantly since I did it. I've been completely preoccupied with sex. The anniversary sex was amazing. The toys worked great, and we both had a lot of fun. Since that night, I've been insatiable. I used that dildo on myself when he was too busy with work on Sunday. I explained to my husband how distracting this shaved state was for me. He chuckled and said if it kept me mildly aroused all the time, I should keep myself shaved for a while. I jokingly told him I didn't know if he was able to keep up with me. He laughed, and then he said it wouldn't be a problem, and he challenged me to wear him out. Well, last night I gave him a blowjob during the tail end of the football game. It was 11:30 p.m. I couldn't wait any longer. Then we had sex for about a half an hour after that. I came, but he wilted. Now I'm confused. He wanted me to shave. He said that he could keep up with me, with my sexual appetite, but on the third day he wilted. Should I just give up or go back to sex once a week or so and let my hair grow back in? Or should I continue pursuing my husband like a lovesick and horny puppy? Or should I just take the matters into my own hands and make that vibrator my best friend? Any insight you could give me would be much appreciated.
As a biological male, I have to say, really? No. Really? You give him only 30 minutes of turnaround time and expect a world-class fuckfest? Let me explain to you how the PP works, sans pharmaceutical intervention. Once a man is over the age of, 37, takes a little longer to get his full wind back. Sometimes an hour, sometimes two, sometimes we'll see you in the morning. Now go play with your dildo, you naughty, naughty bunny. Also, never fillet a man to completion and then immediately ask for sex. It's just bad manners. It's kind of like stuffing a diner full of chicken wings and cider, then complain because you won't eat any pizza afterward. Okay?
Oh my God, that is so true. Listen, our correspondent didn't mention her exact age, but I'm going to guess that she's in her late 20s or early 30s. If you are, then you, my dear, are at your sexual peak. Males are at their sexual peak in our late teens and early 20s. So even if your hubby, who I guess is near your age, was a sexual athlete, a kind of proverbial porn star, you will still wear him out. This is the amazing thing about female sexuality. At most periods in life, a woman can run or come rings around her male partner. This is nature's way, don't you know? It's probably a throwback to our animal ancestry. Whatever it is, revel in it, darling. Enjoy yourself. Be the shameless sexual being you are. Do not sink to the lowest common denominator. Feed your sexual appetite by yourself, with your husband, whatever it takes. Is your relationship one that could include other sexual partners? Swinging or polyamory, perhaps? Many of the sexually voracious women I know find more sexual fulfillment in these alternative lifestyles. The men in their lives tend to enjoy the experience, too. I tend to think that this hypersexual phase you are experiencing will probably fade in time. But even if it does, you are destined to experience a remarkable sex life all of your days. Hey, why not keep a diary? I'll bet you'll even amaze yourself. Finally, there's this. This is Chester. He's 18, and he writes from Indiana. Are there any penis enlargement pills that actually work? If so, what kind?
Chester, are you familiar with the placebo effect? If so, then I'd like to recommend you a nice big bottle of St. John's wort. Go to town, buddy.
And my response, Chester? No, there are not. And don't waste your money. Uncle Iodine, would you like to leave us with some words of wisdom?
Consider this. The meek shall not inherit the earth. They shall instead inherit sloppy seconds. So get yourself confidence on, unless you're a cock. In which case, dig in, baby.
Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with me, your host, Dr. Dick. Hey, and thanks, Uncle Iodine. That was wonderful. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Eden Fantasies. EdenFantasies.com provides you a unique opportunity to both shop and educate yourself about the amazing array of adult products out there. Of course, they uphold a high standard of quality in the toys they carry, but they are even more focused on customer service and consumer education, which makes Eden Fantasies, to my mind, the very best place to shop on the net.
What a filthy mess.
Listen, I also want to turn your attention to Eden Fantasy's brilliant new e-magazine called Sex Is. You'll find tantalizing articles and informed opinions on sex, society, health, erotica, and humor. You'll even find ways to green your sex life. And just in case you don't get a big enough dose of Dr. Dick here on DrDickSexAdvice.com, you'll find that I have a weekly column at Sex Is, too. It's called Dr. Dick on Demand. Look for the Sex Is banner in the sidebar of my site. and look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously. And once there, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. And feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.